Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wednesday night family chat session here on Free Conference Call by Yahweh's Designs version of the Family Chat Hour. It is the 20th of March, year 2024. And, wow, the world continues to basically go up in flames, just as we were told it would. I listened to quite a few interviews, people from the United Kingdom, people from Canada, obviously people from the United States, other places in Europe, and it's pretty damn obvious even to brain-dead white people that there is an orchestrated effort to replace or obliterate the white race and only leave enough for display or annihilate completely. But if there are any left, they will certainly be in the area of servitude, commanded Adam to be. The adversary and his cohorts will have successfully taken the chosen race, the race of Yahweh, and flip this thing 180 degrees around, put them on the bottom, made them the tail, and made themselves the worshipers of everything that's evil and anti-Yahweh, set themselves up as the head. So the wake up is in full swing, and we're only in the middle of March. So Ella's prediction, along with other people that have been watching the timeline that we're on, picking 2024. In fact, Jeremiah himself has also talked about this years ago. We are right dead on track for this year being a significant year in Yahweh's plan for this place that we call Earth. One of the topics for tonight that I want to talk about is the word touchstone. Some people call it a guidepost or a lighthouse. That's a form of a touchstone in a way. A significant person in your life can be a touchstone, but the dictionary definition just says that a touchstone is a basis for comparison, a reference point against which all things can be evaluated. Okay, let that sink in. Now, that's what a touchstone is. Now, the reason I bring that up is because we are to be the touchstone for other people. Yahweh said, he called us in Scripture, according to the Greek text anyway, he called us his ambassadors, his chosen race, his peculiar people, which, by the way, in the Greek language is the word keltoi. Okay, geez, does that sound familiar? Keltoi, Celt. Okay, so the very word Celt, some people pronounce it Celt, but it's actually Celt, even though it's spelled with a C. Keltoi was the Greek word for peculiar people, which is exactly what the Hebrew texts and the Septuagint referred to Jacob, Israel, and his sons, and the people that they became, which is the Caucasian Israelites who walk this earth today. They are his peculiar people. They stand out from the rest of the world. They're the loving, caring, and sharing people of the world. They teach these attributes to other people who normally do not exhibit these traits on their own. And that's just historical fact, okay? You can read the accounts of the conquistadors that Spain sent into South and Central America and then eventually into North America, what the indigenous Indians were doing to each other when they came over here, okay? Barbaric behavior. The Aborigines of Australia, okay? Many of these different tribal peoples were practicing things that were completely against Yahweh's law. So our people were put there to be touchstones, guideposts, so to speak, reference points, so that mankind could see their deplorable state in relation to our Father in heaven and what he expects us to be on this earth. And we've let go of that responsibility. We've allowed the Antichrist, primarily the Jews, and the people that Jews buy with their ill-gotten gain, their blood money, so to speak. And it's not really even money now. It's just digits in a computer. But they claim ownership of it. And the bought and paid for Shabazz Goy, stupid cattle, meaning the whites who succumb to the Jewish bribery, but also the non-whites that do it. Okay, so they're bought and paid for. They're whores. They're mercs, mercenaries, men who will go to war for a paycheck, okay, which is what most of your police are today. They've been weaponized, turned into mercs. Much of the military is mercs at this time. They take a paycheck to do hideous things to other people simply because they're getting paid to do it. Just today, I received texts and emails from some of my friends who are pretty close to my age. We all came out of the electrical power industry. Most of us were also veterans of one of the branches of the military. And today, it seemed to be a common theme on the messages of the deplorable state of the workplace in America today. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to recently about that. And one guy in particular, my friend John, who he was in the Navy, I was in the Air Force, and we both worked in the nuclear power industry, and he was exclaiming since he has gone back. He retired in 2015, the same year I did, even though he's younger than me by about 10 years. He went back to work in order to recoup some money after some business dealings didn't go very well. And he was saying that in the powerhouses, so that was 9 years ago. So in the past 9 years, the work ethic in the powerhouse has gone so far down. He said it's almost unbearable to work here. Nobody wants to do anything. Now, this is in an industry that when I was in it, they would brag about the fact that the maintenance people, the electricians, the mechanics, the instrumentation and control guys, which is what I was, we were considered in the top 1 to 2% of that blue-collar field in the entire United States, as far as education and earning ability. Top 2%. And as it got closer to 2015 for me, and now it's happening for John at the moment, every year that went by, it got worse. It didn't go up. It went down. Okay. When I hired, it was almost all veterans. It was almost all men. In fact, it was all men, what can I say? And it was particularly all white men because they scored the highest scores in entrance exams. They also had the best work records in technical fields like electronics, radar, nuclear power with reactor controls and generator controls and things like that. Okay, so it was a natural thing that white men excelled at that because we are good at those sort of things. And people say, well, you shouldn't say that. It's racist. Well, if the truth is racist, then you can go to hell. If it becomes to the point where I can't speak the truth because it hurts somebody's feelings, then it's their problem, not mine. Our obligation to our Heavenly Father is to tell the truth. Whether somebody else likes it or not, that's irregardless. I mean, who gives a damn, really? Truth is truth. And if the truth hurts, well, then do something about it. Make yourself smarter. Go out and get a better job. Go out and go to the library. Do what I did. I took adult education classes ever since I left high school. I'm just like my father. He was in adult education almost up to the point of his passing over. I've been in adult education all my life, self-taught in almost everything that I've gotten. All right? So that is what Adamic people do. They strive to better themselves their entire life. Well, this world is now upside down, or as it says in the Old Testament, you know, good would be called evil would be called good. That's just a biblical way of saying everything is turned on its head. Everything's upside down. The whole institution of marriage is upside down. Child rearing is upside down. Birth, the way we give birth to children, upside down. The hospitals, upside down. We treat the symptoms instead of trying to cure the patient. We don't want people to stay healthy because there's no money in it. You see, everything is upside down. Okay? The Communist Manifesto says a heavy progressive income tax. Why the hell do we have one? We don't need it. Why do we accept it? So anyway, we represent Yahweh upon this earth, and it's our job to be the lighthouse for the ships out on the ocean that are in this sea of humanity in these stormy climates. We're to be the lighthouse. We're to shine that light that says, come over here. If you want to know what's really going on. For you folks that don't, well, you're going to dash upon the rocks, and we're just never going to hear from you again. That's okay. So again, when you're referred to as a touchstone, that's an honor. And it's what we should be, touchstones to the people around us. And I was thinking about a half hour ago, I was praying, and I thought about the fact that a lot of people have told me in my lifetime that I'm their like the Rock. My nickname used to be the Rock because I don't change. Even recently, some of my older friends said, you're like a rock, Dan, you don't change. And I thought, that's quite a compliment. But why? Why am I like that? And then I realized that because in my lifetime, my touchstone has been Yahweh himself ever since I was a boy. I look to the God of the Bible for my source of strength, for my reasoning, for my standards, and I look to the scriptures as I read them, because I read them from the time I was probably about, 8 years old. I read the Bible pretty much every night. And when I read the Bible, the difference between me and many of my peers was the fact when I read something in the scriptures, I tried to implement it because I believed it to be true. I found out later on in life that's not true of everybody. I thought everybody did that. I thought if you read it in a book such as the Bible, you would try to emulate it in your life. Just like when I went to natural health classes, I thought, well, if somebody read this material, if I presented it to them, why wouldn't they want to implement it in their life and get better health for it? Or like the food laws in the Bible, why would you not want to implement those? Well, I come to find out that there's a lot of people that really don't care. They really don't. I can see why now Yeshua said to the disciples, my flock is a little flock, a tiny flock, in relation to this sea of zombies that we're in. Mike Adams was interviewing Dennis, what the hell's his name? Dennis Quayle? I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, he was interviewing him, and that was one of the terms that they came up with over and over and over again, is the fact that we're basically in a zombie apocalypse, and there are reports of cannibalism going on already. So literally, some of the movies, as ridiculous as those movies seemed to be when they came out, we may be seeing at least a semblance of them coming true in the near future, especially in the cities. And again, scripture tells us to get out of the cities. We've told people on this radio platform to get out of the cities for over 20 years. So hopefully people have gotten away from the major cities, even some of the mid-sized cities. Cities are a magnet for the worst kind of people. In general, there's a few exceptions out there, but in general, the worst of humanity. Your deadbeats, your welfare recipients, they are attracted to the cities where the handouts are, where the mealy-mouthed communist politicians are willing to hand out your hard-earned money to garner votes. And again, you know, our touchstones were our founding fathers for a long time until we turned our back on them as well. Our founding fathers never intended for people that just suck air and have gotten to be 18 years old to cast a ballot. That is the stupidest thing anybody could have ever conceived of. And our founding fathers did not intend for that. The founding fathers said, you can't cast a ballot unless you're qualified. And two of the major qualifications is you had to be white and male. All right. Most of the people you see casting ballots today are neither one of those. So everything, like I said, is upside down. And people aren't even talking about how to fix this thing. You fix it by going back to what worked. You don't hold public office, you don't sit on a jury, and you don't cast a ballot unless you're a free white man and knowledgeable in scripture and a landowner. You got to have all five of those. If you don't have those, then you don't qualify. Now think how much different it would be if every person that had a decision to make about how this country's run was qualified by what the founding fathers wanted. Would this nonsense we see going on now happen? Absolutely not. How did we get to the point where we are today? Because the Jews bought their way into the country through corrupt politicians. And the watchmen in the church pulpit ceased to sound the alarm that the enemy was at the gates, and the Jews are the enemy of all mankind, not just the Christian Caucasian Israelites. They're the enemy of all mankind. And you can see that by what they have said about their murder of the Palestinians, which has been going on for decades, by the way, not just recently. Their murdering of the Palestinians and how little regard they have for non-Jews. You know, people like us with the identity message, we've tried to tell the world about these monsters for a long time. And most people, oh, you can't say that. They're the chosen people. They're the victims, blah, 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 blah. Not true, not true, not true. So anyway, just remember that. You're a lighthouse. You're a touchstone. Your knowledge of what's going on in the world, based on your knowledge also of Scripture and your knowledge of our Father as your touchstone in your life, okay? As you become closer to Him and represent Him more and more every day, your light's going to shine. And true, there's going to be a lot of people that don't want to know what you know. That's true. But there are those who are seeking knowledge, and they will reach out to you. They will. I remember when I first learned identity, I was disappointed by how few people came to ask me anything about it. In fact, most people ran away from it. But that has changed quite a bit in the decades since I came to that knowledge. It has changed quite a bit. And it's changing rapidly at this point, according to my sources anyway, because we are in such a bad state and we are getting worse by the day at this point. So anyway, that's enough of me blathering on. I'm going to open up the mics here and then we'll let you folks figure out what we're going to talk about next. Jeremiah, you're already unmuted, so you can unmute yourself whenever you feel like it. So I'm going to go ahead and be quiet for a second, and I'm going to go and open up the mics, and you guys have the floor.
I can't raise my hand. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I have this is really weird, because normally I'm taking notes or writing things down, and you know, right now it looks like a chicken scratching walking across the paper. What you were trying to say when you were talking about Mike Adams' interview, I think you meant Stephen Quayle.
Stephen Quayle, yes, that's it.
Yeah, he had a book on the giant or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
Okay, and another thing, I'll get back to the touchstone and all that in a minute, but I had an experience with my granddaughter. In fact, yesterday, I hadn't seen her for many, many years. And then being with her for a while, she's grown into quite a young lady. She's about 30 now. And she has her own life and her own opinions. And she's a wonderful, loving type of person. But, you know, after 5 minutes of talking with her, I know she's not like me at all. When we were talking, she said, she's my granddaughter. My daughter raised her. And what she said is, I was raised to believe that we should love everybody, no matter what color their skin is, no matter who they are or what they are. We should just do our best to love everybody. And, you know, I tried to tell her that Yahweh did not mean us for the different races to be mixed and everything. And then she says, well, there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, if you have your friends as black people or yellow people and you're going to intermingle with them, naturally, if you have children with them, those children are lovely. And I told her, but that's the difference between good and evil. And she said, she says, I really don't see any difference between good and evil of what people think. They have a right to think whatever they want, and they have a right to live their lives however they want. But, you know, one thought came to me just now when you were talking about things. The question we ought to ask is, what is your final authority in the things that you believe?
Correct.
Who do you turn to? What is the truth? If you don't have a final authority, you have no idea what the truth is at all.
Well, you remember,
you don't have a right to adulterate, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I tried to tell her. I said, do you know what the word adultery means? She says, well, just cheating on your spouse. I said, and then if you mix white and black together or two pure products, it's called adulteration. How do you explain the difference? She couldn't explain it. I said,
No. If
you adulterate something, you mix it up with something that doesn't belong.
Right.
And then also when you were talking about, I'd just like to know the definition, the difference between coverage and touchstone, in your opinion. I know we've talked a lot in the past about women that don't have a male authority to go to, that they talk to, and you call it, covering. A man covers a woman to cover her spiritually. But is coverage a proper term for somebody that is not like you? Like if you have a Roman Catholic friend or somebody that does not believe in identity or believes in other things other than you do, can you properly be a cover for that woman? And the touchstone is more like, isn't that the touchstone of truth? That if you know somebody is telling the truth, you depend upon them to be that source of the truth. So, okay, I'll yield now. I just put up enough questions there. My little chicken scratching is all done up now. So that gives you some food to chew on.
Well, it's a good question. Couverture, it's a French word, actually. C-O-V-E-R-T-U-R-E, couvert. It means to cover. And no, of course not. If the person that's being covered for a female, that person has to be the example or the touchstone, if you will, for the female and for the children. So husbands should be covers for their wives and children. They could also be covers for other women that could be either wards or actual wives. There's room for both of those positions in the patriarchal family. So to be a cover, though, yeah, you have to be a man of Yahweh in every aspect that you can imagine. Or how would you cover? You can't cover. So that would be that one. And what was the other part of your question? I forgot it already. I should have wrote it down.
Oh, I think I talked about the final authority.
Right.
And the touch versus coverage. And then this... I talked about
touchstone versus coverage. Okay.
Right.
Right. Well, a touchstone, like it says in the dictionary definition, a reference point against which all other things can be evaluated. So the only way you can be a touchstone for anybody is if you are a reflection of Yahweh himself. Because he is the focal point and the reference point to everything on this earth. Him, his attributes, and his law.
Thank you. I think that explains it better than any way I could think of it. Thank you.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. That was a good question. But, yeah, I used to have that argument with my first wife because her opinion was I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to pray every day. I'm a good person. And I said, by whose standard are you a good person? Well, I haven't murdered anybody. I said, so that's it? You didn't murder somebody, so you're a good person? I said, let me know how that works out for you when you're standing at the pearly gates and you tell the Creator that you didn't worship him, you didn't talk to him, you didn't consider his will for this world and in your life, your entire life, because you didn't put a gun to somebody's head and shoot them. That's your criteria for what makes you a good person. This is the same woman who thought that it was ridiculous that what I was trying to teach out of the Bible. She thought it was ridiculous to not party every day because I said you don't party until the bills are paid and all the chores are done. That's the way I was raised. She thought that was silly. You should party more and don't take life so seriously. Well, my father's attitude was just the opposite. You take life very seriously, and there's very few times that you have the right to digress off the path and quote, party or let your guard down. You're supposed to be on guard all the time, especially if you have a family. Even for yourself, you should be careful. But if you're responsible for a wife and then children or multiple wives and children, you don't have a whole lot of room for drunkenness or partying or getting stoned or any of the other things that people seem to like escape realism today with. You don't have that luxury. You're on guard duty, especially today. In fact, Steve Quayle mentioned that on his program, and so did Mike Adams, that ladies, you should be very careful going out alone today, especially in America when they're letting in all of these non-whites and basically tell them they can, and they're telling them they can do anything to us they want. And they've got non-whites at almost every position of power in the States now. And I think it was Steve Quayle was talking about like Miss America, Miss England, Miss Ireland, Miss Scotland, Miss France, Miss Sweden, almost all of them are non-whites. The four top power positions in the United Kingdom are held by non-whites now. Four top. And people didn't elect them. This whole nonsensical bullshit program that we elected these people, no, we did not. No, we did not. They were put in there by the manipulation of the computers. And white people are so damn stupid today and lazy and cowardly that they're allowing them to get away with this nonsense that we elected them. We did not elect them. I know white people are pretty pathetic today, but no, white people did not elect them. I'm sorry. That's just not possible. Computers.
Your vote doesn't count, that's for sure.
Exactly, Cody, exactly. Your vote is meaningless. Even Joseph Stalin, the butcher of Russia, said it, you know. Casting a ballot's not where the power is. It's in the counting of the votes. That's where the power is. You can have people cast a million votes for one guy and only five or six people vote for the other guy, but the people counting the votes can put the other guy in. That's exactly what's going on in the world. That's why every leader is a non-white. Trudeau in Canada is a kike. Macron in France is a kike. The United Kingdom, run by kikes. The Netherlands, run by kikes. Germany, run by kikes. Ukraine, they're not even Ukrainian, and they're all Jews. But they're not even from the Ukraine. Now, how is that possible? You think the Ukrainian people actually elected all these Jews that come from other countries to be their leaders? That's bullshit. Victoria Nuland, that fat, ugly Jew, in 2014 had everything to do with the overthrow of the truly, rightfully elected leader of the Ukraine and put Zelensky, that little faggot Jew, in there.
2014.
2014. What did I say?
No, that's when that happened. Yeah, but that's
oh,
funny.
Yeah,
she
right.
She is a disgusting, fat, ugly Jew.
She's a troll. She's like Madeleine Albright, another disgusting troll Jew. There's been tons of them. Bella Abzug, and all the Jews that were part of the feminist movement coming into this country, every one of them was a butt-ugly Jewish woman. All right? Ugly on the inside, ugly on the outside. They can't help it. They're ugly people. Ugly, ugly, ugly. Especially as they age. Then their true nature starts coming out. Some of them actually look like lizards. I've seen some of the movie stars and all.
Huh? Actually, some of them look just like Rachel Levine, because many of the feminist women were actually men trannies.
Well, no wonder they were so ugly then.
My governor's a freaking, look at her, she's a freaking lizard-looking creature. That Hochul?
Yeah, she's another one, another
disgusting
troll.
Yeah,
she's another Jewish troll, okay? They're everywhere. The governor of Michigan, same thing. Ex-CIA tranny Jew, Whitmer, up in Michigan. How about that for somebody that's obnoxious as hell? Ex-CIA, that's bad enough. Tranny, that's bad enough. A freaking antichrist Jew. And we wonder why she says and does the stupid ass things she does. But the problem is not what these creatures do. That's the way I'm saying it. But that's not really the problem. They're doing what they do because that's what they are. They're antichrists. They're narcissists. They're self-absorbed morons. That's what they do. What's wrong is what's wrong with white people. What the hell happened to the white men in this world? That's the real question that needs to be asked. I had a good conference with some veteran friends of mine here recently, and they were talking about, we're running out of time to wake everybody up. I says, why are we wasting time trying to wake up sheep? Why? Don't waste an ounce of your time or money or efforts trying to wake up sheep, because they are sheep. They will always be sheep. The people you want to wake up are the white lions, which are what? White men with guns. White men that still have that call of nature to be armed to defend the people they love and their property. The lions, the white lions. That's who needs to wake up. Nobody else. When the Israelites went to war, who went to war? The white guys did. The women stayed home. Children stayed home. Servants of another kind stayed there. Nobody went to the battlefield but the white men, the lions. Even the cowards were told to go home. Read the story about Gideon. Okay? Only the best of the white men needed to go to the battlefield. And they were virtually undefeated, as long as they kept unrighteousness out of their ranks. They could not be defeated. So I don't know why everybody thinks we need to get numbers. Everybody says, well, we need the numbers. Where in Scripture does it ever say to honor the numbers? I thought David was cursed for that. He got worried about, did he have enough men in his military before he'd go do what Yahweh told him to do. He was punished for that. You don't worry about numbers. You worry about results. You worry about doing the right thing because it's the right thing, regardless of the outcome. And when men get together and finally decide they've had enough of this bullshit, it'll change. But it's the lions that are going to make the change, not the cucks and the soy boys. Not the little fairies that are out there. Not the little sheep that are baying after the Jew shekels. They're never going to change anything because they don't have what it takes. They're followers. That's why they're sheep. That's why the Founding Fathers said they don't get to sit in a jury box. They don't get to vote, and they don't get to hold public office. They cannot call themselves leaders. They can't stand behind a pulpit to teach. They're incapable. They're sheep. Our Founding Fathers understood that principle very well, and we seem to have forgotten it. We need to get back to the basics, and really that is the basics. Warriors of our race need to learn how to be warriors again. They need to figure out who their leaders are that they're going to follow and get ready for battle. Because even the mainstream, or not, I shouldn't call it mainstream, the main content creators in the alternative media, they're all talking about this very thing. And a lady doctor who's retired now from Ireland, when she was interviewed by Samantha Bailey, who's also a doctor, she was talking about that as well. All right. We're in the fight of our lives right now. We're being replaced. And it's happening all over, not just here in the United States and Canada. It's happening in all the countries. All the white nations are under attack. They're being replaced. And why is it white people can't figure out there's something wrong when the leaders of all of our white nations are kikes? Does anybody actually think we voted all these kikes into office? I mean, come on. This is a communist takeover. It's in your face. Oh, my God. It is so communistic. Even in Canada now, they want to make a law that says if you say anything about Jews, you can get up to a life sentence in prison. What does that sound like? Oh, Joseph Stalin in Russia, after the Bolshevik Jews murdered over 100 million Russians, starving them and murdering them, they made a law that said if you speak out against Jews, it's capital offense. They'll take you out in the street and shoot you. So that's where we're headed. It starts with life sentences in prison, and it ends up with they just take you out in the street and shoot you. That's where we're at. These are the Bolsheviks. It was only about 100 years ago. That's all. Just 100 years ago when the Bolsheviks showed what they're made of when they butchered and murdered all those white Russians. All right? I'm surprised the white Russian people aren't ready to rebel against these bastards. They have had plenty of family members that were taken out of this world by these murderous, I won't even say the derogatory term I'd like to call them, but these blood-sucking parasites on mankind are about ready to do it all over again, only this time they're not going to stop with just the white race. They're going to get all the non-whites to help them take us down, and then once we're subdued, then they're going to turn their attention on the other races. Just like they've done to the Palestinians. Because remember, everybody's a Palestinian to the Jew. All right? Right now, they're trying to act like they're the white man's friend and the black's friend and everything else because they need your money and or your body to be warriors to fight their battles for them. Because Jews are terrible, terrible soldiers. These people that say that the Israeli army is the best army in the world, are you kidding me? What the hell did you smoke for lunch? Those sons of bitches are the best army on earth? You got to be kidding me. No, they're not. They're not good soldiers, and they're not the bravest either. That's pathetic. Even to say such a thing is pathetic. But then again, most of the white countries, the military is becoming Jewish. It's run by Jews at the top. The Jews are making sure it's becoming multicultural, and it's full of trannies and cross-dressers and homosexuals and everything else. So they're destroying the esprit de corps of all of the white military. It's pathetic. Now in the Ukraine, they've killed off enough of the white guys who are dumb enough to fight for those damn Jews over there. They're now going to start recruiting women to go die on the battlefield. You see, this is all orchestrated bullshit. You know that, right? All these, the Ukraine thing and all the other stuff going on, they're just meat grinders to have white kill white. Once again, whites killing whites. The Jews are laughing all the way to the synagogue. All right? There's nobody in politics. I don't care who it is. It's on our side. Nobody. Our touchstone, our reference point is Yahweh himself. Even in Scripture it says that. When the Israelites at the end of this age come through this fire, and it's a burning fire, When we come through it, the only one who gets the glory is Yahweh himself. That's what your book says. And you can kind of see why he wants it that way, because let's be honest, you and I don't deserve any glory whatsoever. Our race is a pathetic race. Their heads are full of bullshit, nonsense, propaganda, you name it. They worship material. They worship money. They worship entertainment. They worship status. They worship their careers. And in some cases, they worship their pets more than they do the living God. So why in the hell would we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. He's going to bring his remnant through because he promised he would. That's why. He can't break a promise. He can't lie, or else he wouldn't be Yahweh. So he said he's going to bring a remnant through, just a remnant. And you're part of the remnant, the people here listening tonight. You're part of the remnant. You know you are. You're realizing, just like Angel was talking about, you realize that you're different than the rest of the world. And sometimes it hurts, just like, Ella or Angel, same person. As she was talking about her granddaughter, we all have family. All of us do. I talk to people every day that are going through the exact same thing that she just went through. We find out that we have family members that are apostate. They're atheists. They worship the beast. They worship mammon or material more than they do the living God. And there are relatives. So you ask yourself, what went wrong? Why do I see so clearly that this is the wrong way to go, and yet they don't? Well, again, you might have the right hardware, but if you don't have the right software, as in the world of computers, if your software is not right, then you can have the best hardware in the world, and it's not going to run very good. And that's the problem. We have people that have been given the right genetics, and yet their internal clocks, their internal control panel is miswired. And they love the wrong things. They chase after the wrong things. That's why in Scripture it says to seek these things and the rest will be added unto you. It says that in your New Testament. Okay, he was talking to the doubtful one. All right? Seek these things first, the rest will be added unto you. Well, seek what? Seek the kingdom. Seek Yahweh's blessing. Seek Yahweh's mercy. Seek Yahweh's law into your own heart and in your own life. You seek those first, then the rest is added unto you. He takes care of that. I remember when I was getting ready to go into the military, and my dad had a talk with me. He was not very happy with me. He wanted me to go to 1 year of engineering school, but I dropped out to join the Air Force. I had a draft number that was so low, I was going to get drafted into the Army anyway. So I decided to go into the Air Force and get good electronics training. If I had to go in, I was going to do that. But we had a talk before I left to go into service. And he said the same thing my grandfather used to tell me as well. But he said, do not worry about your paycheck. Don't worry about promotions. He said, you just keep your nose clean and do the best job you know how to do, day in and day out. And you know what? All through my career in the military and in nuclear power, that little session with him paid off dividends my entire life, because everything he said was absolutely true. If I just kept my nose to the grindstone and did my best and followed orders and was the best I could be, somebody was always watching. Whether it was a training instructor hiding behind a building watching us march from chapel to back to the barracks or over to the chow hall, or whether it was a supervisor in the power plant hiding behind a column somewhere watching us work on a transmitter or a float device. Somebody's always watching. And promotions and prestige and honor and pay raises and all that followed because you did not seek them first. You sought to do the job right. And when the bosses and supervisors see that that's the kind of person you are, they actually enjoy promoting you. Now, there's some supervisors, obviously, that are not that way because they are evil themselves. But I'm talking about other righteous people. When I was a supervisor, I loved it when I found guys who had the right work ethic and did a good job. And I just had some young guys come out and work on an air conditioning unit. And I have to admit, for the first time in a long time, it was fun to watch some guys that actually knew what they were doing and took the extra time to do it correctly. As my father used to say, do it right the first time. So to watch people, so even though it was a rather expensive bill, I almost didn't mind it because I was actually paying for somebody that knew what they were doing. They were actually going out of their way to do a better job than the average person instead of just get it done and move on to the next victim so that they can get a bigger paycheck. Yahweh's looking at us the same way, by the way. He's watching us. He's testing us. If you want to think of him with a clipboard, he's sitting there and checking off. Did you do it right? Did you have the right motives? Did you give the right credit? Did you charge the right amount? Did you do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay? Were you honest with the person that you were working for? Etc. So this whole test that we're going through here, for us as individuals, but also for us as a race of people, we're failing the test. And for the life of me, I don't know why we're failing when everything is fairly easy to see as far as what's wrong. And yet almost nobody is talking about repentance and coming back to the Father. Everything is a political solution, or we just need more money, we need more handouts, or let in more immigrants, let in more invaders. Listen to more Jewish talk show hosts, or Jewish pastors, or Jewish rabbis, or Jewish psychiatrists, or Jewish bureaucrats, as if that's going to give you the answer. What's wrong with our people? As soon as they open their mouth, it should sound like nails going down a chalkboard. It should just make your spine tingle. You should run from those kind of people. And yet, by the millions, our people are listening to morons on television and these other, like these mega churches with these liars behind the pulpit. Money at these people like crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that's a long rant, so I'm going to yield. And what else? Does somebody else have anything they want to talk about?
I'd like to talk about something.
Sure. Go ahead, Cody.
The solar eclipse that's coming up. I would like people's thoughts on that, just because at least where I'm at up here in New York State, they're really hyping it up, like to a point where it's like kind of making my spidey senses tingle a little bit. I just don't know, you know, it's a phenomenon, I guess you want to call it, you know, the solar eclipse, blah blah blah. But they're really hyping it up to the point where they're telling you to, you know, get gas and make you save up on gas and food and water and blah blah blah. And stuff like this. So I would just like to, you know, if anyone else has heard any other thing about the solar eclipse that's coming up.
Can I say a word about that?
Sure. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, there was something on eclipses years ago. If you remember, there was a tetrad there were supposed to be four eclipses that were supposed to determine that these were the Jewish eclipses over Jerusalem, and they were happening. These were the signs of the second coming and all that, and all this blarney was raised up and everything, and it ended up actually nothing happened. And actually, the eclipses that I had in, they had in, I think it was 2017. My mind's foggy about the dates right now. But if you notice, this eclipse went from the west to the east. And I often wondered, how can an eclipse of the sun possibly happen going from the west to the east when the sun rises in the east and goes to the west? And it has been proven also that since most people now are beginning to wake up to the fact of the flat earth, it is not the shadow of the earth on the sun or anything else that's causing eclipses. They have been known, I've researched that a bit, and there's things called the black suns or black disks or something. There's something out there in our atmosphere below our firmament that are responsible for causing eclipses, and they are not portents of anything miraculous or biblical happening. There's no such thing. It's all just fear porn. They've done this before in many, many years. For the past 80 years that I've been alive, every time an eclipse comes out, it's, oh, we're going to have a blood moon, we're going to have this, we're going to have that, and it's all fear factors. And it's things to bring attention to something that they want to take your attention away from, like the invasion of the other countries in our country itself, the killing of the white people, the elimination of the white race, all these things like the so-called election or selection coming up, anything now to take our minds off of what's really going on in the world, they'll use. And it's to cause a fear factor to make you go out and buy things you can't afford, things to make you panic. So that's my theory on it from what I've learned through my education experiences. I'll yield.
Yeah, I'll get
I thought the same thing, actually. Yeah, it's just just more fear porn, basically. But I would just like to pick everyone's brains to see what they thought.
Yeah, we'll get Jeremiah to give his ear in a second. I just want to remind everybody what it does say in Scripture that the Father does before he brings about judgment on the earth is he sends his prophets. So if you want, he doesn't send eclipses, he sends a prophet. So go ahead, Kumri, Jeremiah.
Regarding eclipses, there's a few things, at least here in Pennsylvania. Recently, our governor, I believe it was our governor, I'm going to just say governor, came out and there's published articles on websites, and I believe he even made a teleconference about it, about the coming eclipse, that they were planning on heightening security patrols and a few other things. And he ended it, he tried to wrap it up to somehow allude to the fact that it is for our safety because of the expected increase in traffic of people wanting to come to Pennsylvania to view the eclipse. And as I'm reading this, I'm laughing because in my head, I'm going, it's just an eclipse. Why do we need heightened security, more patrols for an eclipse? Unless, from everything that my research has shown, this isn't just a normal eclipse. This is probably something biblical because of all the factors that line up with this particular eclipse. When you line it up with the eclipse from 7 years ago and the two annual eclipses that occurred in 2021 and 2023. Now, then, when you add in the other constellation sign that occurred in the fall of 2017, This year marks a 7-year gap between that constellation as well as the other eclipse that occurred in, I want to say, that one occurred in August. You have, again, a 7-year gap, which supposedly the tribulation was 7 years long. Now, do I believe this is the final year? No. But I do know that when you add in the eclipses, it creates an aleph over the United States, which is the letter A in the Paleo-Hebrew alphabet. Then it also forms a tav. So both of them are connected, an aleph and a tav. And in Paleo-Hebrew, the tav is the last letter of the alphabet. So you have the aleph tav, in which in Scripture is also called the signature of Christ, because he said he was the aleph and the tav. He never said he was the alpha omega. That is just a Greek translation for the aleph tav. So if this is true, I could see the governments are using it as an excuse to hyping up security, claiming, oh, we're doing it because of your safety and the increase in traffic, when really they're getting prepared, because this is basically a sign to them that their time is really shorter than probably what they expected. The other factors I found, not only that these eclipses form the beginning and the end over the United States, is it's happening in 2024, and we know God loves numbers. He always does things with numbers, 7 years, 60 years, so on and so forth. Well, something I recently found out is the number 400 is always alluded to slavery and bondage. The first time it occurred was in Genesis, in which Yahweh told Abraham that his people will be in bondage for 400 years, and then God will come and free them. Then I believe it was in Malachi or in Mark, it spoke that God was quiet for 400 years after Malachi, which was the last book of the Bible. So he was quiet for 400 years, no prophets, nothing, before he started to, I guess you could say, prophesize again because Christ was born. Well, I just found out that this year, New York City, which is, in my opinion, the Jews' capital, turns 400 years old this year. I did not know that. So you have the Aleph Tav, the number 400. Then if you use the numerical factors, the Aleph Tav also spells out Yahweh in its symbolism. So there's a lot of connections between these eclipses, not just this single year eclipse, you got to add them all up, that has a lot of biblical significance that I will not chalk it up to, oh, it's just an eclipse. Because in my opinion, it's not just an eclipse. One, this year's eclipse and the year from 7 years ago were total solar eclipses. And you can look into the U.S. history. We've never had two total solar eclipses 7 years apart in the entire country's history.
Well, signs and wonders. He did say everything in the firmament was put there for guidance and to tell the seasons. So would it fit with his plan that he would put some kind of celestial happenings as a signpost? Yeah, it's possible. The fear porn, though, part of it is just them either trying to sell stuff or to keep us off our guard. Because, again, people that are fearful are easily manipulated. I look at it as fear porn. But, you know, are there significance? Like you said, the 400. It also makes sense about New York City being 400 years old because the Jews are getting ready to move out of New York and they're coming to Miami. All right? You would not believe the changes I've seen over the past 2 years down here. And a lot of money is being spent, and the only people with lots of money right now are the bankers, and that's the Jews. They got tons and tons of money, and they're just building this whole thing up down here like no tomorrow, because the plan is for them to vacate New York and make Miami the new financial, which means the new Jewish headquarters in the United States. So that fits like a glove. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say something on that, too? There is one biblical passage on that, what Jeremiah was talking about. It's in Luke 21, either 26 or 36. It says, men's hearts failing them for fear of what is happening upon the earth. So if there's something fearful coming on this earth concerning something. But all through the Bible, you can check everything. And this 7 years, seven in the Bible is a perfect number. That means a time of perfection or a certain time. It does not mean 7 years. There's no such thing in the Bible as a seven-year tribulation. There's the time of Jacob's trouble that is talked about in the Old Testament, but that's what it is, the time of Jacob's trouble, and we are Jacob, and we're going through that trouble. But even in Revelation chapter 13, it tells you that it's going to be 42 months. In the Old Testament, it's time, times, and half a time in the book of Daniel. But nowhere in the Bible, even mostly in the book of Revelation, it will never say there's going to be a seven-year tribulation. And they're trying to push those 7 years on us, and it's not true. It's more like 42 months, and that's coming up pretty quickly according to some statistics. Okay, I'll yield.
Yeah, it's Luke 21, starting at verse 25. It's under the subtitle of The Coming of the Son of Man. And there will be signs in the sun and moon, stars, and on the earth, fear among the nations, which means the peoples, and doubt because of the loud noise of the sea and of the waves. That represents people. Men's strength will go from them in fear and in waiting for the things that are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be moved. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things come about, let your heads be lifted up, because your salvation is near. So again, as the world, the zombies are terrified by what they see happening. He's saying that we, his sons and daughters that truly know him and love him, we, on the other hand, should be lifting up our heads, because your salvation is near. So just the opposite. So everything is upside down, even in this coming of the Son of Man here in Luke chapter 21, okay? Because the world is looking at everything from a negative point of view, whereas we're looking at it as signs that this is what he told us would be the situation at the end of the age.
Amen.
So, hallelujah, that's right. So, our salvation, soter in the Greek language, it's salvation from physical harm. It's got nothing to do with where your spirit goes. It's physical harm in the here and now. That's what it's talking about. So when he says that, it's just like he said, if you obey me, you shall be saved. He's not talking about, oh, okay, like the church world teaches, well, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, I'm saved because I'm going to go to heaven. Well, I got news for you. You got no control over what's going to happen to you when you die. Your spirit's your spirit. The Father gave it to you, and he'll decide what the hell to do with you. You're not going to decide nothing. You're going to do the best you can, but this is talking about on this earth, in these bodies, with this soul, or psuche in the Greek, which we pronounce it psyche, when this is what he's talking about, not what happens when you depart the lands of the living. Salvation here, when you obey the food laws, it's got nothing to do with your spiritual state. It's got everything to do with your gut, your intestinal tract, and how many diseases you're going to have because you either obey his food laws or you disobey them. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
I was just speaking with someone about that the other day, because we got into somewhat of an argument about the food laws, and they thought that I was kind of condemning them. even though I told them, look, you're not going to hell for eating pig. The food laws are simply there that help you live a healthier life. If you don't want a healthier life, that's your choice. I'm just telling you that God never did away with any of his laws. The food laws are still in effect. The marriage laws are still in effect. The only thing that he ever did away with was the ceremonial practices to show your faith, which is killing an animal. Well, not just any animal. It was the best of the best, right? So that's your most valuable possession. To me, it'd be my car. That would take a lot of faith for me to go and smash my car, which is like, what, $30,000, to show repentance for what I did to Yahweh. I use modern terminologies to try to help this person understand the whole purpose of sacrificing your best goat or best cow. That was a lot of investment that someone had to put up. So God wanted to see a physical action that you all repent. Well, when he died for us, he took away that ceremonial action, so we don't ever have to do that. But it did not end the law. The law is still in effect. So what I explained to this person is, look, every time the Bible ever spoke of save, you're saved, this is salvation, yada, yada, it only and always meant from physical harm. Because whether you are reborn again, as I believe, that's not your choice. That's God's choice. Just like this Hollywood idea of selling your soul to Satan. You cannot sell your soul to Satan. God owns it because your soul was created from a part of God himself. How can you sell something that isn't even yours? You can't.
All right. Yep. Well said. That's exactly right.
I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Cody.
No, go ahead. Finish what you had to say.
No, I was done. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question for all of you. Regarding the food laws. Say, for instance, you know, you're not going to take the mark of the beast, and, you know, you're banned from any, you know, buying or selling in the beast system, you know, yada, yada, yada. And you had to eat something that's not clean, like, say, for instance, a squirrel or a rabbit, you know, and that's your only way of getting any kind of protein. You know, I understand, you know, gardens and stuff like that, but say you had to do it. Now, what do you do there?
I believe we were given an example of what you're talking about when King David was in the temple with his men and they were hungry and basically starving, and he gave them the showbread to eat, which was a violation of the rules of the temple. So he felt that his men and their need for nourishment to stay alive and stay healthy for battle was expedient as far as the temple worship went. So I think that gives us our idea. If you're stuck in a situation where the only source of energy and protein is the unclean, well, okay, it's unclean, but, you know, death is also very final. And he does not want us to die. He wants us to be victorious in this battle. So you pray over it. That's what I would do. I would clean it up, make it as clean as I could get it, and pray over it and ask for forgiveness and chow down, if that was the case. But I will do everything possible first to make sure I don't have to eat the unclean. Ever since I read that and listened to Pete Peters on that tape about the food laws, I have not eaten the unclean knowingly in all the years since then. And I have not regretted it one single day. I thought I would miss the bacon, miss the pork chops, you name it, the Sunday ham that Mom used to make. Nope, didn't miss any of it. And health got better the longer I stayed away from it. Which, ironically, when I went to the naturopathic and holistic medicine classes many years ago up in Indiana, the teachers in these classes often talked about foods that we should avoid to stay healthy, and guess what? They were all on the unclean list out of the Bible. They never once said any of the clean things were not good for us to eat, but all the things they told us to avoid, if you want to stay away from arthritis and joint replacements and irritable bowel syndrome and all that, everything they said to stay away from was on the unclean list. Just saying.
Yeah, I just. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you. Yeah, I'm saying like in dire circumstances, if you know, you had
right.
to, you had to do it to survive. That's all I'm saying. I'm not.
Yeah,
saying,
and you're well, right. If you're if you and your family have to do that to survive, then yeah, you got to survive. Besides, the thing I've found out is, say you did do something like that, again, these bodies are miraculous machines. And Jeremiah and Angel can tell you a lot about that. Miraculous machines. And what I have found out since learning about holistic medicine is if you stop doing the bad things and you do the right things, there are things like the moringa, there's things like cilantro, parsley, and there's several others. If you eat those things, they pull toxins out of your body. They pull heavy metals out of your body. Okay? So again, Yahweh gave us all the things we need to do to overcome the poisoning by the enemy. And sometimes, as you said, Cody, you may be forced to poison your own body in order to stay alive. A minuscule amount of poisoning. So if you repent of that, though, and you get to a safe zone, well, okay, now you start ingesting the cleansers, and they'll go in there and grab all that stuff and yank it out of your body. Oh, apple cider vinegar, that's another one. Apple cider vinegar is a natural chelator. It will chelate out of your body heavy metals and toxins. So, again, everything we need is simple, cheap, usually easy to make, easy to find. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And he's making all this available to us at just the right time. We've got lots and lots of people looking into homemade recipes for foods and tinctures and medicines, and people like Jeremiah learning how to do vertical gardening, and Ella's combining her nurse's training with holistic medicine, and all this stuff is starting to come together. As people network this information between ourselves, we're better able to deal with the toxic environment we're in right now. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add it with regards to pulling stuff from the body. One that a lot of people are aware of is bentonite clay is really good for it. But one that a lot of people are not aware of that I feel is a little stronger than bentonite clay is a product known as zeolite. So somewhat on the pricey side, but it will absorb literally anything down to like the nano and micro level and just drag it right out of the body.
Is there a natural source of zeolite, or is that something that's processed?
That is the name of it. It is a natural mineral known as zeolite, and you can find it as a supplement.
Okay. Do you know any supplements that have it in them? That this is it, part of the supplement?
I could look into it.
If you find it, send it to me. I'll email it to everybody.
Yeah, I could find a good brand, at least the brand that my mentor used, and find out what brand that was and send that to you.
Yeah, send that to me because a lot of people are going to be wanting to know about that. All kinds of chelation. I heard about chelation probably 30 years ago. I had friends of mine that were going through it because they were losing feeling in their fingers and their toes. Their circulation, their buildup of plaque was so bad. They were starting to, their fingers were going numb and their toes were going numb. And so and back then you had to get chelation done in a doctor's office, and he would put an IV in you and you'd sit in this chair for 2 or 3 hours while this chelation was going through you. Now we found out that, like I said, apple cider vinegar and other things are natural chelators. So you just change your diet and you just consume the natural ones and they'll do the same thing. So, yeah, if you get that information, give it to me, and I'll make sure everybody hears about it. I yield.
One thing I want to say, Dan, is what when you were talking about Luke 21, thinking about that is we should understand as Yahweh's people that as the world gets worse, our situation is going to get better. So all the bad stuff that they're trying to throw at us now, and we're seeing it as evil, Yahweh is meaning it for good, because these are the things that we should be looking at and saying, wow, they're telling us these horrible things are going to happen. Fantastic. Yahweh's coming soon. I'll yield.
Or as Pete Peters used to say, everything's going wrong just right. I always get a kick out of him saying that. Everything is going wrong just right. So the enemy is making a mistake. There's an old saying. It says, when your enemy is making a mistake, don't interfere. The enemy's making lots of mistakes right now because they think they've got this thing in the bag. And what they don't understand is below the surface there is a boiling pot of dissent and awakening going on that I believe is going to amaze everybody when it reveals itself. We see little signs of it at our level right now, but we got to understand that we only see a small window of what's going on in this world. Yahweh, of course, sees the whole kit and caboodle. And by his spirit, he's directing everything that's going on right now. So
the main thing we should know is he always says, when things get really bad for you, rejoice. Because that's where you're learning and you're growing and you're maturing and you're getting through it. And he's testing his own people now for their strength, just to see what their metal is worth. Are they going to do as they are told to, or are they going to cave into the world's demands and become fearful and anxious and poor woe is me, what do we do, what does this mean, what does that mean? It means that we should have faith that Yahweh knows what he's doing and we're going to come through it just fine.
All right. And the scripture says he tests those that he loves, and it also says that he chastens or punishes those that he loves, just like us earthly fathers. Okay, no earthly father, at least the ones with the brains working correctly anyway, no earthly father likes to punish his children. Nobody does, but you do it because you love them, because if you don't have discipline, then they're not going to learn. It's just the way it is. You don't train a puppy by being nice to it. You have to discipline it. And then it learns quickly, and then you can love it up for being an obedient dog and not pooping in your living room, okay? So, again, it's just the way of the world. It would be nice if we were born perfect coming out of the womb, and there would be no need for any of this stuff to go on. We'd be just like Yahshua, and none of this would be necessary. But that's not the way the world is. So we need to be chastened just like children. We are children in his eyes. I don't care if we're 110 years old. We're still children to him. And so we need chastening, and we need to be directed, and when sometimes we need to be punished for misbehaving or doubting or whatever. So a lot of that is what's going on. And with some of the people that are upset about everything they see going on and they want it all changed, and I've had discussions, and these are all identity people now, I said, you know, you got to be careful, because what did he say to Peter when Peter tried to take that man's head off that betrayed Christ? All right, when that guard reached out there, he cut his ear, but he was going for the throat. He said, put that away, you're interfering with the plan. He could have easily killed the guy, but that wasn't his job at that time. He said, you're interfering with the plan. Put that thing away. And so a lot of us, you know, we have angst, and we're trying everything to fix Babylon. And as Ella has said many times, it's not our job to fix Babylon. Nowhere in Scripture does it say it's our job to fix Babylon. It says, come out of her, so that you do not suffer with her. She's going to suffer. You have not even begun to see the suffering that these zombies are going to go through. All right? He says, come out of her. Now, think about this. In the past 4 years, who are the people who refuse to put the poison in their body? The vast majority of them were our people, were they not? People who love God, love the truth, and would not bow the knee to Baal. Okay? Now, I just talked to my daughter about this, and she admitted it. She repents. She's a senior supervising nurse, and they told her that she would be fired if she did not put this serum in her arm. So she had resisted for a long, long time. But she acquiesced, and yes, she has health problems due to it. And she quickly realized that they lied to her because she had friends who refused it, and they did not get fired. All right? So she realized very quickly that they had lied to her and that she made a big mistake, and she has repented of that, and she told him that if that ever happens again, she will leave the nursing field. And very possibly she will become a holistic practitioner at that point, use her nurse's training to help people holistically, which I say hallelujah. I wish she would do that anyway. But there, again, a lack of faith and believing the enemy, letting fear guide us, can get us into big trouble. So her fear of losing her career, I know it's a strong one, but still, what is your health worth? My dad used to tell me that all the time. Your health is the most valuable thing you possess, besides your relationship to the Father, obviously. But as an individual walking on this earth, your health is the most important and valuable thing you have, because he said if you lose your health, no amount of money on earth can get it back. And that's a fact. Look at these Jews and all of their ill-gotten gain that they spend trying to stay alive, because they know they have nowhere to go. They're condemned already. That's why they work so damn hard to try to live to be 150 years old, because this little dance on this world is all they get. We, on the other hand, this is just a short hop and a skip down through the park. We had somewhere we were at before we got here, and we have somewhere to go when we leave here. So our attitude is completely different. They, on the other hand, they don't have that. The problem is that they have convinced us to be fearful like them, which gives them power then. See? We have to get our power back by worshiping and believing in our Father and each other, by the way. We got to behave differently with each other. We have to repent of that nonsense that's going on amongst our people right now. But we will. We're overcomers, and we're going to overcome. We're going to see really bizarre things, just like the past 4 years. Totally bizarre. I never dreamed anything like that would have happened. So we just stay focused on the prize, which is our existence with our Heavenly Father and with each other and whatever he's got for us on the other side. But the main thing is to pass the test. Got to pass the test. I yield. Anybody else have anything?
Am I unmuted? Can
yes.
I say something?
Sure.
It's been a while since I've been on the show. I don't know if my name popped up on the phone number or not, but I'm Jeff Powers from Idaho State.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to get a new phone. My old phone quit on me, so I got an Idaho number now. But, yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciate everything. I appreciate all the emails that you send me. They're just great. There's just a wealth of knowledge there. And believe me, I pass it on to a lot of people. So thank you for that, Pastor Dan. I really do appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the fact that you said that. That's music to my ears, and it makes all the efforts worthwhile when I hear things like that. So,
yeah.
I wanted to write your number down so I keep track of it. So the one that you're logged in on here on the show, that's the correct number now?
Yeah, that's my new number. The other one, that's an old phone. I had to get updated. It just wouldn't work anymore. But I did want to say something about this solar eclipse coming out. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Zionists don't try to use something like this, especially this election year, to create a grid down situation or something like that, so that they could usher in their central bank digital currency. I mean, any number of things could happen this April 8th coming up. But I here in Idaho, 7 years ago when we had that total solar eclipse here, we were in the 100% blackout belt, and I didn't notice anything different. But, I mean, back then, I think Trump was in office then. But I think the deep state are going to try to do everything in their power to disrupt this election coming up. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they don't try to use this as some form of grid down, computers don't work anymore. If you want to access your bank accounts or anything like that, we're developing a new system and you got to use it. You know, we are living in perilous times, a time of Jacob's trouble. And like you say, we need to be prepared for anything.
Excellent thought. Excellent.
Right. Exactly. We have to remember that the enemy uses events like this as a cover. And so at any time, we have to be prepared. We also have to understand that many times it's just fear porn and a way to distract us and things such as that. I yield.
I've been thinking close to the same thing, that because a lot of people have been having problems with their phones. And I'm wondering if they're going to do something to the internet and the phones with this solar eclipse.
It's very possible it will be regional. They do that a lot, where they will, just like the gas shortages back in the 70s that I lived through, that was all man-made, every bit of it was. Certain areas of the country were very short, while other areas had plenty of gas. And it was all orchestrated by men, okay? There was no natural cause for any of it. So, again, you know, we're in the hands of our Father. We just got to listen to our gut, okay? Go to your prayer closet and seek the Father's advice, and He'll talk to you. You'll get that warm, fuzzy feeling, or what I call the vibration or the gut feeling. You'll know, we are His sons and daughters. He is not going to let that happen to us. He's not. I don't care what my neighbors are going to go through. I don't care a block over or 10 blocks over or 10 miles down the road. They may go through hell. I just remember the last couple hurricanes that came up through Florida went completely around us down here. Usually we get nailed with everything coming up this way. They went completely around us, didn't touch us at all, and yet they did horrific damage 100 miles north of here. Okay, so again, you have to understand what's going on is to punish the wicked. And if you're not the wicked, it's not going to touch you. Go read Psalm 91 again. All right, that's the soldier's psalm. We are the Psalm 91 people. He's not going to allow that plague to come to your home if you are in alignment with His wishes. That's why I said years and years ago, you and I as individuals do not have power over the beast. We don't. Our safest thing to do for the people we love and ourselves is to walk with our Father in heaven and obey him to the best of our ability. That is the safest course of action any of us has. And don't trust the arm of flesh, which means what? Televangelists, government bureaucrats, medical mafia, they're all arms of the flesh. They're all weak-willed men who take money as bribery to lie to you. Trust instead the Father who has your back at all times. All times. This is going to turn around pretty quick. It's ugly. I know it's ugly. It may even get a little uglier. But again, as we watch these Babylonians drowned, as we are in our ark, just like Noah and his family, we're going to witness it. We're going to see the rain and the clouds and the thunder and the lightning and the waves, but we're going to be in our ark, whether it's literal or figurative. So we're going to witness what punishments come upon these people to destroy them, because why? They're destroying the earth. All of these people are. And he's going to get rid of them. He does not want them here. I don't want them here. And personally, I'll be happy when they're gone. So just keep that in mind. I think, how'd you get muted? Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. It had to do with what... back to what you were saying about family and being protected, getting good with Father, the end times. I was just having a chat the other night with my sister about it, about the world slowly coming to an end and stuff like that. And she was asking me some questions about it, like, well, will I still be able to go to work? Will I still be able to buy food at the store? Da-da-da-da-da. And I told her, I was like, well, yes, maybe. I don't know for sure. What I will tell you is that when the world comes to an end, it's the world as we know it, and it will only be for a short time. Like, if you want to think of a total, quote, apocalyptic movie, think of it lasting maybe a week. Because Yahweh himself said that when it comes down, it's going to come hard, but it's only for a short time.
Right. Yep. Babylon falls in a very, very rapid pace. Even Obadiah says that when the sons of God become a flame and a fire, we will rage through and exterminate his enemies. That's a relatively fast proceeding, okay? It's not going to be for very long. So,
Doesn't it say in Revelation either 17 or 18, when Babylon falls, it will be in 1 hour?
Right. In the Greek, it's a short period of time. Right. Right.
Right.
Which I've heard some people say that an hour in prophecy could be like a day. And to me, that sounds too fast. But then if you really think about it, if God's doing it, that's not fast at all, because God can make everything end and turn into paradise within an actual hour if he so wanted to.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Right. In the twinkling of an eye, things can change. And in some aspects, everything is going to change very quickly in the twinkling of an eye. But you also have to remember, when you're talking to people about what's going on, it's not the end of the world. It's the end of an age. In the Greek text, it's eon. All right? Well, eon is not the end of the world. It's the end of the eon, meaning an epoch of time. So the world that comes to an end is the world as we know it. this world is not going to go away. We're going to be here when it's over. That it's the end of the world as we know it, because it will be a new heaven and a new earth, because there will be no more wicked. There'll be no more destroyers. There'll be no more murderers. There'll be no more rapists. No more anything that offends the Father, because he's probably had enough, is my guess. He's had enough of the corruption of everything he put here. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, for the end of the age, we can also see it as the end of Edom's age, because they'll no longer be on this world or rule this world. So it's the end of the age of Edom.
That's a good way of putting it, right? It's the demise of Edom Esau. As Obadiah verse 18 says, Edom Esau and Ezekiel, by the way, chapter 25 verse 14, Edom Esau will perish from the face of the earth. There'll be neither root nor branch. That's a biblical way of saying no posterity, no ancestors. Gone, erased, down the memory hole because of what they have done. Okay, and they're unrepentant as hell. They are unrepentant. But we've had over an hour and a half now. I yield. Does anybody have anything else?
Yeah, I want to say something. That
sure.
The app. How do you say that, Yuka? That app
the
you sent me.
Yuka.
Yuka. I finally got it downloaded, and I've been having a heyday with it. But because I call the food laws, I say the health laws, because I just do, and I'm into health and all that. And salt is important for us to have in our body. Well, I was going through all my spices, and even some of my Himalaya salt didn't pass it. When they process it, wash it, I can't think of the term that they use, it takes the minerals out of the salt. And so I suggest that people, because I'm sure all these people that are on here right now received the same email, to download it, because I was really surprised about, especially some of my Himalaya salt, my garlic salt didn't pass, so I told my husband we'll just use salt and regular garlic, but it's a really good app so far. I really like it.
Yeah, it's good to know. Thanks. Yeah. I do have a friend that's really, really anal about the foods and all that. She does a lot of research into which companies are lying to us. And I remember a couple years ago she told me to be careful of where you get your Himalayan salt, because there are probably run by Jews. There are companies who are producing fake Himalayan salt. By washing and dyeing it so it looks pinkish, whereas if you get the real McCoy, like I can't remember if it's Pakistan or Afghanistan, somewhere over there, they get it right from the Himalayans, literally from the Himalayan mountains, and they ship it to you, and it's quite different than some of the Himalayan salts in the stores, which tend to look fairly clean. They're like pinkish almost. These were like various shades of red with sometimes even black in them. You could kind of tell that it was mined straight out of the earth and maybe washed with water, but not chemicals. Whereas the stuff that looks a little too nice and a little too clean, that's probably suspect. Just like Celtic salt. You know, Celtic salt should look dirty, actually.
I just got in my cabinet and looked, and the only Himalayan salt that passed, I actually got from Myers, and it says product of Pakistan.
Pakistan, there you go. Okay, it's Pakistan then. Right, all the stuff I get comes from straight from Pakistan. So there may be other companies that have the real deal, and they get it from Pakistan and then resell it, whatever, but I remember reading that years ago, right? Pakistan is the biggest provider of genuine Himalayan salt. And I'm going to tell you, that stuff is amazing. I rinse my mouth out with it. I keep diffused in water, Himalayan salt diffused in water. I use it as a mouth rinse. Occasionally, I'll even just drink it, like 3 or 4 tablespoons full, just drink it down. And at first, it tastes like kind of like crap because it's so salty. But I've got to where I crave it now. So I'll drink down 2 or 3 tablespoons of that high concentration salt and water, and then drink a small 4 or 5 ounce glass of water with it. Because it's got 57 or 58 minerals, all the trace minerals and many of the minerals we need in that one product. The Barbara O'Neill, the one that makes all those great videos about natural health, she talks about Himalayan salt too. And she says it only takes a few grains of the larger grains. Just take 2 or 3 of them, really, and let them melt in your mouth, and you'll get tremendous amounts of minerals that way. So here again, the beautiful thing about, and this is what really excites me, is the Father has provided us with all this stuff. We don't need abundance. We don't need factories, Jewish factories full of all this garbage. That's just like I went on intermittent fasting, and I went organic, and I found out I eat one meal a day. That's all I need. I don't crave food at all. I don't crave junk food. I don't crave midnight snacking or any of that garbage anymore. One decent meal. Today, my meal was a great big salad with some sourdough bread and Irish butter on it. I get my butter from Ireland because that's the best butter ever. Kerry's Gold. So it was like feasting. I said to Father, I said, I'm eating like a king. It's just a big old bowl full of salad with some raisins and garlic and onions and tomatoes and 5 different kind of lettuces. A lot of people say, oh, that's rabbit food. You know, they turn up their nose. I said, no, this is gold. The Father's given me my medicine, and it tastes great. I love it. Sprinkle in the Himalayan salt. Sprinkle in peppercorn, organic peppercorn, to help with digestion. What? Hey, we're living like kings. And the beautiful thing of it is, everybody else is out there spending $300, $400, $500 at the grocery store, and almost nothing in their cart is actually food. That's the amazing part. Almost nothing in that cart is actually food that'll do them any good. Whereas I go to the farmer's market and I've got a small cart full of organics, and that's enough to go for a week. And I eat actual real food. So that's the beautiful thing. As we learn to do it the Father's way, there's a benefit. There's a blessing. I don't need as much, so I don't spend as much. I'm actually spending less buying real stuff than the people going to the store and buying the shit food. I'm spending less and eating less and losing weight and feeling better and joints work better. Blessings, all blessings from the Father. All we have to do is trust and obey, just like it says in Scripture. And it says in that old hymn, that's a good old hymn, trust and obey, for there is no other way. Hallelujah. Anything else? I'll yield.
Just one quick point. I really liked what you said about it's not the end of the world, but it is the end of an age. And I just want to remind everybody that this age we're living in now is commonly known as technology electronic age. And an EMP or a super solar flare would put the damper on that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
No more internet, no more Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. They claim
no more
that
cell phones.
No more cell phones. You wouldn't, I mean, could you imagine not even being able to get an emergency broadcasted across your TV in your living room?
Right.
All electronics gone. Would there be any question in anybody's mind as to what's going on in the world?
Right.
I mean, this they claim this something of this magnitude would kill 2/3 of the world's population very quickly. and it would take 50 to 75 years to ever recover from something like that, if we ever did recover.
Right.
My
so this technology electronic age is going to fall.
Yay.
I yield.
Yeah. Go ahead, Melissa. You were saying something.
My feelings wouldn't be hurt. If I lived without all this till I think maybe 2009. Yeah, that's when I got on the internet. And I did have a cell phone earlier than that, but just a talk and text. But yeah, I wouldn't care. In fact, I would probably be happy because it's addicting to me. It's addicting. But yeah, I would dig that.
Mm-hmm. I lived without it before, and I can live without it again.
Right, exactly. I spent most of my life without it. I grew up on a farm with no electronics, none. We had a black and white TV. It was broke most of the time. So very little television watched. There were no electronic devices whatsoever. I remember I didn't even get a cell phone until, 2005 to 2010. I didn't even have a cell phone until then. And television, I shut the television off in the late 1990s. Haven't missed it a day since. So, you know, little by little, it was like he was conditioning for me, just like he got me interested in the organic foods very strongly and finally got me into the intermittent fasting to where now I can go without eating. Like when I had that infection in my jaw, I went for 10 straight days with zero food, zero. I could barely get water down. My tongue was swollen so much that for 10 days. So for 10 days, I had zero, and I got through it. I got through it. In fact, I was so concerned about what the hell was happening in my mouth, I didn't really think about it. I wasn't eating. And then after 10 days, for the next 4 days, I had a small cup of soup and a cup of crackers. That was it for the next 4 days. So for 14 days, I had four cups of soup and about 17 saltine crackers. And I was fine. I lost about a pound a day. So we are being conditioned to where what would kill the average zombie doesn't hurt his people. We're gonna build up our endurance and our ability to do with less and not be mentally and physically addicted to what Jeffrey said, the technology, which is part of the beast system. Yes, we're using it right now because we're still doing Yahweh's work with it. But if he takes it away, hallelujah. I'll be okay with that. Dealing with life the way our ancestors did? Yeah, I'm okay with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is what Peter was talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It talks about what he's seen in the end times. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Almost sounds like an EMP super solar flare to me.
Well, what we do know is it's pictographic. It's creating an image that what we know in the world today, just like the world prior to COVID, has disappeared, gone forever.
Yep.
This world is not what it was before COVID. Okay, the communists have literally taken over. So pre-COVID is gone in a flash of an eye, twinkling of an eye. It's gone. And so that these verses are saying the same thing. Okay, but Verse 13, I think, is what's important. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in Amen. Which righteousness dwells.
That's it.
There is the crux.
Yeah.
Whatever that previous two verses is talking about is what's going to happen to these zombies.
That's right.
Not you and me. Not you and me. We're going to witness it. It's going to be rough on us. I'm not saying it won't be rough. It will be rough. This is, the past 4 years have been rough. Don't get me wrong. But we know why it's happening. We know what's going to happen in the future. We know on what side of the fence we sit on with Messiah versus the zombies who are sitting with the Antichrists. All right? And so our reward comes when he just dissolves this whole frickin' mess. And he's going to dissolve it and burn up the wicked and throw them right down the toilet where they belong. And those who are righteous. That's why I said our safety is in our righteousness, which is also in our faith. Okay? That's your safety zone. It doesn't matter how many guns, bullets, bags of beans, that those things are not as important as your righteousness, your heart, your desire to serve the living God and to honor him with your life. Remember, Yahweh's gift to us is life. What we do with that life is our gift back to the Father. Never forget that.
Yeah.
That's his gift to you and me. We're here. We're breathing this air. We're seeing the beauty of his creation. And we have lived long enough to know righteousness versus the zombies who live without Yahweh in their life. So that life is his gift to us. He is commander of that life. But what we do with that life, he gave us free will. And then that is in turn our sacrifice. That is our gift back to him when we stand in front of him when we leave this world. That's why we're supposed to work day and night for however many years he gives us to have a proper gift to present to our king. Like he said, how many crowns will you have? How many acts of service? How many good deeds? How many good words? How many times have you turned somebody away from this world and turned them back to the Father where we belong and to each other as a family? That's what we have to keep in mind. I yield. Anybody have anything further? Okay. I don't know about you folks, but my eyes are getting a little heavy. So let me go ahead and mute everybody. Well, no, I'll just go ahead and leave you out. Just be, if you could, mute your own self or just be quiet for a few minutes here. We'll close it in prayer. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters and as your children. We know we have done wrong. Oh, my, we have done wrong. We do ask and we repent of that and ask that you forgive us those things that we've done wrong and for our lack of action and lack of faith at times. And we know that if we seek you out and with earnestness, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, seek your face in all things, that you will not forsake us. You never, ever forsake us. That if we seek you earnestly, fervently, that you will administer to us and teach us by your Holy Spirit. And you'll watch over us, no matter what this sick, demented world out here comes up with. You watch over your children. You guard us like a hen guards her little chicks. Under your feathers, as Psalm 91 says, under your feathers we are safe from the fires of the evil one, the darts that he throws at us. So as we get ready for whatever's coming down the pike, Father, just help us struggle on, see through this nonsense, have good discernment, courage, stiff backbone, clear vision, and a love for each other, just like it says in Malachi. This is the time for us to learn, no matter what language we're speaking, no matter what land our feet are set on, we are a family. We come from a root, and we belong to each other. We look out for each other. We pray for each other, and we protect each other. To that end, we ask, Father, that you would walk with us and guide us in all that we say to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And we ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.